Good afternoon, everyone. We will call the Agriculture, Commerce, and Energy Conference Committee hearing to order, or meeting to order. So we are here to adopt our individual agreements by jurisdiction, and I think we're going to start first with the energy portion. So, Chair Friends, would you like to have staff walk through the energy stuff?
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks to members. Thanks to staff from the House. Also to the Senate members and staff for all the work. Everyone that's been patient with us, thank you. I know it took a little bit of time to get it going. Before we walk through the energy articles, just want to put on the record, we're in Senate Building Room 1200, and it's about 4:45 on
very important details.
May 18th.
Sounds great. 17th, I think.
It's one of those days. And with that, I'd like to ask staff to walk through the energy agreement. Is that Mr. Ng or Mr. Mueller?
Ms. Ng.
Ms. Ng. Well, there it is.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, and members, Ashley Ng of House Fiscal. I will be walking through the 2024 Energy and Utilities Supplemental Budget, Senate File 4942 spreadsheet with a date time of 10:55 a.m. Looking at the conference agreement columns and starting with the Energy Resources Division of the Department of Commerce. On line 5, there is $500,000 in fiscal year 25 for a thermal energy network site suitability study. On line 7, there is $500,000 in fiscal year 25 for the solar app program. On line 8, there is $133,000 in fiscal year 25 and $265,000 in fiscal year 26 and 27, respectively, for grid-enhancing technologies plans. Jumping down to the Public Utilities Commission, on line 12, there is $39,000 in fiscal year 25 and $77,000 in fiscal year 26 for the Thermal Energy Network Deployment Group. On line 13, there is $117,000 in fiscal year 25 and then $157,000 in fiscal year 26 and 27, respectively, for grid-enhancing technologies plans. On line 14, there is $111,000 in fiscal year 25, $111,000 in fiscal year 26, and $77,000 in fiscal year 27 for interconnection standards. And on line 16, there is $155,000 in fiscal year 25 and ongoing for an interconnection ombudsperson funded through the Special Revenue Fund. Looking down at the renewable development account, there is $6 million in fiscal year 25 for the Sabathany Community Center geothermal system. On line 22, there is $500,000 in fiscal year 25 for Dakota County energy efficiency projects. On line 23, there is $5 million in fiscal year 25 for the anaerobic digester energy system. On line 25, there's $250,000 for ultra-efficient vehicle deployment grants. On line 27, there is $1.2 million in fiscal year 25 for the geothermal energy system planning grants. And on line 28, there's $1.5 million in fiscal year 25 for the solar app program. Now, flipping over to page 2, there is an appropriation for from the renewable development account to the Public Utilities Commission in fiscal year 25 for $1 million for the suitability review of carbon pipelines. So, and then the total funds, the total expenditures for the general fund for fiscal year 25 is $1.4 million. And in fiscal year 26 is $610,000, and fiscal year 27 is $499,000. Jumping down to the bottom with the total revenue, there's a total revenue in fiscal year 25 of $555,000 and $765,000 in fiscal year 26 and $654,000 in fiscal year 27, which balances out the target agreed to. I believe Mr. Mueller will finish the spreadsheet.
Thank you so much.
Madam Chair, Dan Mueller, fiscal analyst for the Senate. I'll be working off of starting on page 3 of the spreadsheet, and this deals with the Minnesota Energy and Infrastructure Permitting Act. And this will be a separate article in, or three articles in the agreement, and they have their own cost items that we're tracking separately from the rest of the bill. There are, working off page 3, there's a little bit difference than what the Senate had coming in. There still is the movement of roughly 13 FTEs from the Department of Commerce to PUC, but under the, there'll be an A73 amendment that delays the movement of the FTEs so that it starts in fiscal year 26. So there's about $2.5 million of special revenue costs that will shift over to from Commerce to PUC. There will be an appropriation in the A73 amendment. You see that on line 56. A general fund appropriation of $1.2 million in fiscal year 25, and then $2.4 million ongoing to Commerce, and this is for roughly 11 new FTEs that will be specializing in permitting reform, routing, siting, and intervening. And that cost on line 65, that general fund cost, is recoverable through assessments. There also is the appropriation that was in the Senate bill for rulemaking, and that is in the agreement, for $5,000, and that is also recoverable. So it nets out the expenditures. The general fund expenditures do net out with assessments to have a net zero general fund effect on the bottom line. The last page of the spreadsheet just shows in total for both parts of the bill, the environment finance part of the bill and the permitting bill, that the net general fund target on this bill is $1 million in fiscal year 24. And then zero in the tails when you take into account the expenditures and the assessments. And that's it for the spreadsheet.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And Mr. Eloff, do you want to do a brief description of the A73 amendment to the permitting article?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is an amendment to, I believe we'll have a motion to adopt Senate language for the energy transmission portion of the side-by-side, pages R1 through R39. The A73 is an amendment to that language. Beginning on page 1 of the amendment, section 3 there specifies that the Public Utilities Commission is the responsible governmental unit for environmental impact statements for nuclear waste storage projects. Turning to page 2 of the amendment, at the top, section 3 modifies the scope of the Department of Commerce's intervention at the Public Utilities Commission in energy proceedings. Towards the middle of that page is language that specifies how a joint hearing for both citing and need is to be conducted. Towards the bottom of the page are a number of editorial comments, and at the bottom of the page are a number of changes to the certificate of need provision with respect to effective dates. Turning to page 3, this is the language that was in the House bill regarding the right of first refusal of incumbent transmission owners. This language indicates that the 6 months, it streamlines the deadlines for utilities that are deciding to build transmission by 6 month period. At the bottom of the page is language requiring a biennial report on the impacts of this very act on permitting. Turning to page 4, near the top is language that specifies that the expansion of a power plant to over 50 megawatts also requires a site permit from the Public Utilities Commission. Right below that is language specifying that only a single route for a high voltage transmission line needs to be supplied by an applicant making an application for a route permit. Middle of the page is language including engineering and operational design as part of the application for a permit. And towards the bottom of the page is our proceedings that are to be considered at the public hearing. And at the bottom of the page is some language regarding ex parte communication between commissioners and environmental review staff. At the top of page 5 is language that adds to the list of factors the commission must consider in approving a site or route permit. And beginning on page 5, line 10, is language that allows pre-construction filings to begin after the commission makes a decision on a site or route permit, but before a formal order is written. In the middle of the page, at line 5.15, is a definition of an environmental impact statement that specifies that it must satisfy the requirements of the Minnesota Environmental Policy Act. And at the bottom of the page is language that specifies that the commission will make the determination as to the adequacy of a final environmental impact statement. That is language that is taken directly from the Minnesota rules. Turning to page 6, towards the top is a repetition of the language regarding pre-construction filing. This time it's for major applications. The first one, or this one is for standard review process. The earlier one was for major applications. The middle of the page contains deletes a lot of obsolete language that was in earlier engrossments of the Senate bill. And section 12 at the bottom of page 6, again, is language that is verbatim from Minnesota rules, as is section 13 on page 7. Section 15, beginning at the bottom of page 7, specifies that carbon dioxide pipelines require a route permit from the commission, and also that an environmental impact statement must be prepared for those projects under MEPA. And section 16, as Mr. Mueller mentioned, specifies the date of the transfer of duties from Commerce to the commission regarding environmental review is July 1st, 2025, and also establishes that section 15.039 applies to these transfers, which is the usual way these things are done, protecting personnel, making sure that their move is not upsetting. On line 8.25, is a rule that is repealed under the Senate language, but this does not repeal the Senate rule. This is a rule that says that the commission can't issue a permit if it violates site standards, and the commission must find that the issuance of the permit complies with state environmental goals. Towards the bottom of the page and at the top of page 9, Madam Chair, is the appropriation that I think Mr. Mueller mentioned, $1.2 million for the Department of Commerce to participate in routing and siting proceedings at the Commission. That concludes the amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Eloff. And I think Mr. Mueller is going to take care of the A63.
Madam Chair, I'll walk through the A63 amendment, which is an amendment to the environment policy part of the bill. The amendment basically contains three main items. The first one deals with small groundwater thermal exchange systems. This just increases the amount of systems that can be permitted, both the small ones and the large ones. This is an item that came over from the Department of the DHS bill. It was in both the Senate and the House bills, and it came over to be added to this bill. The next part starts on line 2.19. This deals with the Solar Energy Production Incentive Program, and you'll see on lines 3.13, it adds 10 more years of the Solar Rewards Program at $5 million per year. A reminder to people, this program is run by Xcel Energy, and the payments for this are withheld from the RDA payments or RDA deposits that come to the state. So they pay out the rewards, and this just determines how big the total program can be in each year. So it extends it by $5 million per year for 10 years. The last item is on page four of the bill, starting on 4.10. This is a carbon dioxide, a study to look at carbon dioxide pipelines that will be, there's an appropriation in the RDA article for $1 million for this, and it goes to the Public Utilities Commission, and they will work with the Environmental Quality Board in selecting a contractor to do this study, and the study is due back on November 1st, 2026. Yes, Madam Chair, there should have been passed out a motion sheet. I'll go through it quickly. It deals mostly with adopting, you remember on Wednesday there were a number of sections in the environment policy portion of the bill that were adopted that were mostly same or similar or that dealt with other policy only items. So this sheet here will be adopting sections that deal with funding items that are in the appropriation articles and that are in the spreadsheet. So the first one is on House Section 1 and 2 dealing with the Thermal Energy Network. And then the second one is also a House item, Section 2 and 4 for the Grid Enhancing Technologies. The next one is the Geothermal Planning Grants. This is in Section 3 of the House's policy article. Next we have the Solar App Plus program, and this is also in the House bill. And then the Senate item for the ultra efficient vehicle grants, and this is in Section 4 of the Senate policy article, and we'll be adopting that section minus lines 98.19 to 98.20 that deal with matching amounts. The next one is a thermal energy network site study. This is a House item, Section 5. The grid enhancing technologies report. This is a House, Section 19. Interconnection docket for PUC, this is a House Section 3, and the interconnection ombudsperson, House Section 4. Other motions that will be taken at once, also believe handed out and posted, were the climate and energy finance article, which is a DM013-1. This reflects the general fund appropriations and that are on the spreadsheet. The next one is another article. This is the renewable development account article, and that's also been handed out and posted. It is the DM011-2 document. The motion would include the A63 amendment that I just went through. It would also include adopting the Senate Minnesota Energy Infrastructure Permitting Act language that was part of the side-by-side. And that's all three articles of that Environmental Energy Infrastructure Permitting Act. And then it would also include the A73 amendment that Mr. Eloff went through that amends different portions of that, of those three Senate articles. And the last item on the motion would be the A59 amendment, which was also posted and handed out. And the A59 amendment repeals the ban on allowing local governments to not put in a bag, grocery bag ban. So that would all be taken as one, on this sheet as one motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mueller. And I just, for clarity's sake, we did not offer the A59, and so that we'll remove that from the motion.
Okay.
Please. Thank you all for that. That's a lot. Want to see if any members have questions or comments regarding the spreadsheets or the amendments? Any discussion? Seeing none, Chair Friend? Aren't we going to do, are we going to make comments on this before, and
thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, staff, for the walkthrough and for the compilation of the amendments. Understanding that the A59 is not included, I move adoption of the agreement as described by staff for the energy articles.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails, and the agreement is adopted. Great. And we're going to now switch over to the agriculture side. And Chair Vang, would you like to take over and have staff walk through?
Yes, I believe the report has been posted. Oh, it's been passed from members now, so we can have staff do the walkthrough and go from there. I believe we'll start
so
with
Mr. Savory?
Mr. Savory, the spreadsheet.
Chair and members, for the tape, Ken Savory, House Fiscal Staff. I'll be walking through a spreadsheet document that is available in your packets. The upper right-hand corner designates that it was released at 5/16/2024 at 9:12 p.m. We'll begin with the Department of Agriculture and the Protection Services Division. On line 8, there is $495,000 in FY25 for the Soil Health Equipment Grants Program, a one-time appropriation. Line 9 is a transfer to the pollinator research account of $75,000 in FY24-25. Line 10 is a one-time appropriation regarding nitrate treatment at $2.8 million, one-time in FY25. Line 12 is the survey abatement crop and fence damage report, a $50,000 appropriation in FY24, one-time. Skipping down several lines, you'll see on line 18 is an increase to the maintaining current service levels or the administrative appropriation for the marketing and development division of MDA. It's increased in the tails by $20,000 in each fiscal year. You'll see a line later in the spreadsheet corresponding decrease to a different division. We'll cover that in a moment. Moving down to value-added products, line 23 is a increase to the farm to school program within Agri, so an $125,000 increase in FY25 on line 23. Line 24 is a tails increase of $2,576,000 in FY24 for the Agri tails. And then lines 25, 26, 27, and 28 is a cancellation of the existing FY24 appropriation for the Dairy with an Eye program, a reappropriation of that program, Dairy with an Eye, on line 26 and FY25 of identical amounts. And then on line 27 and 28 is a cancellation, again, a reappropriation of the entire Agri program appropriation for FY25. Moving down more to line 29, is a appropriation for aggregate livestock protection grants specified for avian influenza. It's $225,000 in FY25. Then on line 30 is a appropriation for agri-meat processing education grants occurring in FY24 one time at $225,000. Additionally, there are two items related to the AGREET program on line 32 and 33. The first one being for wild rice natural stands, a carve out of existing funds of $200,000 in FY25 and then $200,000 in each year thereafter. And then on line 33, for wild rice forage selection of $250,000 in FY25 and then corresponding carve outs in FY26 and 27. Moving down a little further to line 35 is admin and financial assistance. Line 36 is a $300,000 appropriation for the beginning farmer equipment and infrastructure grants, a one-time appropriation. And then moving down slightly further, on line 38, there's a carbon market report of $25,000 in FY24. And then turning over the spreadsheet to page 2, there's just one remaining item, which is on line 39, the maintaining current service levels. This is the tails reduction that I referred to earlier. On line 39, for $40,000 in the tails, this nets out to zero with the corresponding increase. And then, Madam Chair, I would turn over Mr. Olofsson to continue the walkthrough of pages 2 and 3.
Thank you, Mr. Savory. And Mr. Olofsson, did you want to, Mr. Olofsson?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Eric Olofsson, Senate Fiscal Staff. So on page 2 of the spreadsheet, line 41 just summarizes the Department of Agriculture's total general fund spend for the bill, the DE amendment before you. So for the 24-25 biennium, there's a net impact and to the MDA of $4.32 million from the general fund for the 24-25 biennium, and then $2.576 million in the tails to MDA from the general fund. Skipping on down to line 50, this is within AURI. This is for food entrepreneur support from the general fund. It's $225,000 one time fiscal year 24 from the general fund. And then just to line 73, since I just went through the general fund summaries for the agencies, I'll just discuss the total net general fund impact. And for the 24-25 biennium, it's $4.545 million from the general fund and $2.576 in the tails. This matches the general fund target that the agriculture jurisdiction received. So moving on to page 3 of the spreadsheet, this gets to non-general fund expenditures. So on line 77, there is a five-year extension of AFREC, or the Agricultural Fertilizer Research and Education Council. So those expenditures from the Agriculture Fund begin in FY26 within the extension, so they're already assumed to be spending that in FY25. So additional expenditures from the Agriculture Fund of $1.27 million beginning FY26 and each year thereafter for 5 years. So 2.54 total in the tails. On line 78, there's a budget neutral provision, but it provides federal authority, statutory authority for the Office of Broadband Development to spend IIJA digital equity funding. That comes from the federal fund. On line 79, this is to translate all certified applicator tests into Spanish. This comes specified to come from the pesticide regulatory account within the Ag Fund. This is assumed to cost $30,000 from the Ag Fund beginning FY25 and ongoing in the tails. Moving on down to line 86. Line 87. So I will, on line 87 for the five-year extension, beginning at FY25, there's the corresponding revenues from the fertilizer 40-cent fee of $1.27 million beginning at FY25, and then a tails sum of $2.54 million in the tails from the Ag Fund. On line 89, I'll go to line 91. My apologies. I will note there is a technical error. So for the net total non-general fund impact, it's negative $1.24 million, or net savings of $1.24 million in FY25. But in FY26, it should say $30,000, not $2.57. And then for the biennial total, it should say $60,000 to the Ag Fund. And then lines 94 and 97 and 96 just show the transfer from the general fund to the Ag Fund into the pollinator research account. And with that, that summarizes my walkthrough of the spreadsheet.
Thank you, Mr. Olofsson. And Mr. Sullivan, would you please briefly describe the revisor document that's labeled BD 4942-24, is that right? Oh, Mr. Sullivan.
Madam Chair. That's correct. Yeah, this is the agriculture document. This is drafted as a delete everything amendment. So after this quick walkthrough, the motion would be simply to move and adopt this amendment to capture the agreement in the agriculture area. So the Article 1 reflects the appropriations that Mr. Savory and Mr. Olufsen just discussed as part of the spreadsheet. Quickly, a couple of riders that are worth noting, the bottom of page 1 is the Soil Health Financial Assistance Program appropriation. You'll see that starting on the bottom of 1, line 1.33, it's specified that the amount appropriated in the second year, the additional amount, is only for projects located in Dodge, Fillmore, Goodhue, Houston, Maurer, Olmsted, Wabasha, or Winona County. That was Senate language. And then on page 5, bottom of page 5 is the nitrate treatment appropriation. Both bodies had very similar language in this area. I will note that on page 6, the Department of Agriculture has authority to transfer money to the Department of Health to establish and administer a mitigation program for contaminated wells. That was Senate language. Then on page 14, so within the appropriations, this is the farm to school rider within Agri, lines 14.15 and on. This is the House language, also the administration's proposed language, expanding eligible recipients to include child care providers so long as they participate in the National School Lunch Program or the Child and Adult Care Food Program. And then finally on page 30 is the Down Payment Assistance Program rider. That starts on 30.18. Both the House and the Senate changed preference for emerging farmers in fiscal year 2025 to preference for other farmers. And this is the House language in the DE amendment. So the department would instead give priority to eligible applicants who have no more than $100,000 in gross sales per year or that produce industrial hemp, cannabis, or a specialty crop. So that's it for the appropriations article. The Article 2 starts on page 33. This is agriculture policy. Much of the language in this section the committee has already seen and adopted at an earlier meeting. It's just captured here as well, so it's in one package for final adoption and to facilitate the production of a conference committee report. The language I'll point out on page 38 is a new item. These are changes to the Soil Health Financial Assistance Program administered by the Department of Agriculture. So this is page 38, sections 10 and 11. Representative Vang and Senator Putnam agreed to require the Department of Agriculture within this program to give priority to farmers who are certified under the Ag Water Quality Certification Program or that have been assessed under that program and are pursuing certification. It's on 38.14 to 38.15. And then Section 11 provides that going forward, recipients of these grants will be required to certify to the department. They will not sell the equipment that they purchased with help from the state grant program for at least 10 years. Jumping ahead to page 52, this is the AFREC extension that Mr. Olufsen described in the spreadsheet. So on the top of page 52, beginning with Section 36, you'll see the five-year extension of the fee on 52.11. And then on the bottom of page 52, section 37, there are changes to the makeup of the AFREC Council. The council has expanded from 12 to 15 voting members, the reduction of one member from the Minnesota Crop Production Retailers, and then on page 53, the addition of four new members specified on lines 53.9 through 53.13. And then you'll see on page 53, the bottom, section 39, this is an expansion of eligible grant-eligible projects through the AFREC program. So it includes all the existing eligible projects, production and application of fertilizer, soil amendment, and other plant amendments, and then adds also as eligible project areas regenerative agriculture and the protection of clean water. And then onto the next page, page 54 at the top, this is language that requires the AFREC Council to develop or update research priorities and to request guidance related to the availability of nitrogen by manure type and livestock species based on management, as well as manure management and fertilizer best management practices for vulnerable groundwater and surface water areas. So that's the end. Oh, and then, yeah, Section 41 is just a corresponding increase to the number of members who must vote for a project for it to be funded. So it still requires a two-thirds vote of members on the council to approve a project. Then the next, quickly, page 63 is also new language that the committee has not reviewed before, or at least has not adopted before. These are pretty technical changes to the Grain Storage Act definitions proposed by the department and are proposed for approval by the chairs in this meeting. That's sections 62 through 65 on page 63. And then finally, on page 64, the committee previously adopted the Senate's language reinstating requirement that a person who finds a stray animal is required to either surrender the animal to a local animal control agency or to post certain notice to try to reconnect the animal with its owner. The difference here is that, and this was in an amendment that was posted, this was in the A67 amendment, it's to allow the person to either turn the animal over to a local animal control agency or a kennel licensed by the Board of Animal Health. So the kennel piece is new. And that's all I have for the walkthrough of the DE amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan. Any discussions to the agriculture agreement? Any questions, comments? Seeing none. Any comments, Chair Vang?
Yeah, I just want to thank members of the committee for your patience. I know that we delayed a little bit because we were working behind the scenes on getting the report done, so appreciate the patience, and I want to thank staff for all their hard work on this and helping us get the report ready, and want to thank the public and stakeholders for your input as well as for helping us try to get the best proposal possible, and thank you, Chair Putnam, for your partnership on this process, too. And Chair Putnam, if you...
And Chair Putnam, would you like to also go ahead and make the motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Vang. I do want to take a moment to actually sort of piggyback off of what Chair Vang just mentioned, and that so often in politics we think that what makes things happen is passion, but in truth it's patience. And this is a result of patience, grace, and thoughtfulness. I'm very proud of this bill and proud of the people that I got to work with in order to make it real. So I also want to thank staff, especially the indomitable Ms. Painter and the mighty Mr. Olofsson, and everyone else who've shown up and worked with us, not just for this bill today, but with us all session. And with that being said, I move the adoption of the agricultural provisions present in the DE labeled BD4942-24 and as described by staff.
Great. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed say nay. Ayes have it, and the agreement is adopted. I want to also just take a second and make sure that staff is instructed to work with the revisor to prepare a conference committee report that reflects what was adopted both today and on Wednesday, and that staff is also instructed to make technical corrections as necessary. So with that, maybe I do want to make a couple of final comments, but you go ahead and go first.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you again, members of the House and Senate Conference Committee. Thank you to the staff for the excellent work. A specific thanks to the sensational Ms. Severson and the magnificent Mr. Mueller. Want to say thanks to you, Chair Akam, for your work on the energy article. You know, your voice brought forward a number of things that are critical to the success of the bill, and I just want to name a couple of them because you deserve credit. We're always talking about the competing energy technologies, and you're the voice of geothermal, and there's a lot of great things in the bill. I want to thank you for that. We joke around a lot in the legislature, and I had a member of my caucus ask me about some of the provisions that were House and Senate exchanged. This member was pleased with something that was in the bill, and I said, yeah, it only cost me $50 million in the solar rewards program, and Chair Akam, you deserve full credit for that, and it sends a signal about solar as one of the technologies that we're hoping will compete successfully, so you deserve credit for that. You know, we could go on quite a bit, but the House brought to the table a robust voice for environmental review. I thought that was a nice compliment to some of the things the Senate was looking at. I'm very pleased with the permitting article, and to the members of the public that contributed to that, our hope is that we will permit more clean energy faster and do it in a way that Minnesotans can say, hey, this is a good thing. You know, I could go on about the renewable development account stuff and our basic things, but two other quick thank yous to Representative Kraft for the work on GETS. I think that's a win all the way around. And Madam Chair, on interconnection, you know, we always have these great ideas and pass laws, but sometimes implementation doesn't go exactly the way we're thinking. And so that was something where you were able to get all the stakeholders together and say, what if we did it this way? And then since I have the microphone and you can't really stop me, as a former Agriculture Committee member, I want to say thank you, Chair Vang, and I know exactly where you deserve the most credit. You are the voice of new ideas and new faces in Minnesota agriculture. It's not just where we've been, but where we're going, and you and your staff deserve a major thumbs up. And I owe you a trip to your district since you came to Mankato for the Rural Ec Forum, so you've got that marker you can collect with me. Finally, members of the public and the stakeholder community, probably seems simple to juggle 50, 60 advocates at one time, but it's actually very complicated. And to the extent that those from the PUC, from the Department of Commerce, from the Department of Agriculture, you know, contributed thanks. And to the stakeholder community, many ways you represent the people of Minnesota outside the Capitol bubble. And so with that, Madam Chair, members, I just want to say thank you for what we've come up with, and looking forward to closing this up and getting to the next step.
Sorry about that. They're in a broadband bill here. And I understand that Senator Putnam, that you've agreed to work with that in the next session to try to correct some of those. Is that correct?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Dames. It is a work in progress, as everything is here. And I've been part of a number of conversations about some provisions in the broadband jurisdiction today. And those conversations are going to continue. I've had conversations probably with the people who told you that I said I was going to keep having conversations. So, yeah, we're going to keep working on stuff.
And a follow-up, Madam Chair, Senator Putnam or Chair Putnam, are you fairly confident we'll be able to get that resolved so that we don't lose some federal money that we might possibly lose?
Senator Putnam.
Madam Chair, Senator Dames, I'm not just confident, I'm absolutely certain.
Thank you very much. Senator, I appreciate Dames. That. Madam Chair, follow-up?
Go ahead, Senator Nance.
Just another comment, and it's just a comment, but a little disappointed in the number of Republican pieces in this energy bill that got taken out. I think that some of those should have been reviewed a little further, but I just wanted to, for the record, state that I'm concerned about that and a little disappointed that they were taken out instead of acted on. But thank you for the time to express that.
Thank you, Senator Dames. Any other comments by members? Not seeing any, then maybe I'm going to take just a minute, and certainly I'm going to start with thanking staff in the House. Certainly Ms. Eng and Mr. Eloff, appreciate your expertise and dedication to us getting the energy bill done, and certainly my cohort here, or my partner in crime, Mr. Okay, all right, Mr. Molzon. And I will just maybe take a second about this bill. And for those of you that know me, it probably, you know, it isn't the bill that I had thought we would have at the end of session, and or that I had hoped for. And what I will say is that there has certainly been an evolution in where I started and where I am. And I feel very proud about this bill. I feel that there's a lot of really good things in it. And I appreciate the partnership of Senator Friends, and I appreciate the work we can continue to do going forward. And I certainly appreciate the inputs from my colleagues on the House side, too. My Vice Chair, Representative Kraft, has, for those of you who have worked with Senator Kraft, he digs in and he gets a Representative Senator. See, I'm so confused. Representative, my apologies, I didn't mean to. anyway, but thank you so much for your dedication and your hard work, and so much of it is represented here in this bill and in other bills, so thank you for that.
And I do thank all of you that are here, and your voices are really important and reflective of the outcome of this bill. So there are some good things, and collectively, we all have a lot to be proud of. So with that, I will pass it over to Senator Friends for the last word.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And so, you know, there's a personal aspect to this work, and I've handed out the thanks to those that are great partners here. And I want to just end by saying some of it's business and some of it's family. And the two people who work most closely with my office and who deserve the most credit are my outstanding committee administrator, Justin Emmerich, and the CLA, Travis Ernest. So that's for those two guys.
And with that, we're adjourned. Thanks, everybody.